Greetings, greetings, and salutations, one and all.
I'm so grateful.
How you doing?
I'm so grateful.
Are you feeling grateful tonight? It's Real Talk Night right here on the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. Much love to you, 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 and you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Forever and ever, amen. Because we've been through it all. You pick me up when I fall.
I want to say much love to those who are locked in on TuneIn Radio.
Best friend. Girl, I don't.
Hanging out with the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew.
Oh, another day without my baby. My best friend, she my lover.
Much love to the massive out of New Jersey.
But I will count my blessings.
Girl, hanging out and chilling with New Jersey's finest, the motivator.
Blessing. Girl, I'm gonna love you forever.
I wanna say blessings to those out of Long Island, New York.
Man.
Hanging out to Reggae Pulse Radio. DJ Atomic Force and crew, much love to you.
You're my lover, girl, you're my best friend.
Big ups to those on the Foundation Radio Network, ClintonLindsay.com.
Don't forget everything we've been through. I hope you know that.
Enough love, Mr. Lindsay.
You, baby, yeah. And yeah, I was a little bit toxic. But girl, you know this love is like magic. I hope you know that I just wanna love.
Those on the PEMGTV.com, much love to you.
Forever and ever, yeah.
If you're hanging out on YouTube Live,
cause
Clubhouse,
you pick me,
Facebook Live,
you're my love.
On Zeno FM, on the in the Stew Pod to DJ Kevin Stew.
Who can take this love away? Know that I am
much love, much respect. Thank you very much. So glad to have you. Couldn't do it without you. You have my word. I wouldn't even try.
Never giving in. As long as we're together, I'm alright.
Stig the artist kicking us off tonight.
I'm gonna love you forever.
It's called Love You Forever.
Forever and ever, amen.
I wanna say thank you to my segment sponsors.
You pick me up when
the Pulse Media Group, and being in a moment is priceless. Go ahead and give them a call.
Best friend.
They can do everything you see here on KevinStew.com and more. They'll take care of your videos, your photos, your streaming, your ads.
If
you have an event you want to stream live,
I will come.
Church service, funeral party, graduation, seminar,
everything will be,
you name it, they got a solution for you.
I'm gonna love you for.
Call them up, 754-999-1140.
Forever and ever.
That's 754-999-1140.
You pick me up when I fall.
I want to say thank you to Althea and her healing heavenly hands. Althea is a licensed massage therapist operating out of Broward County, North Miami-Dade, and South Palm Beach counties. She comes to you, bringing her table, her oils, and over 20 years massage therapy experience. Go ahead and give her a call. Schedule your appointment today. 954-655-9000. That's 954-655-9000. She only has one request outside of paying her. It is to get off her table and go sleep somewhere else when she's done. Say thank you to Reggae Global Entertainment. With Reggae Global, they'll act as your booking agents,
right.
Handle your tour management, take care of your business registration, legal service referrals, music production, marketing and promotion, and much, much more.
Ever.
Go ahead and give them a call today, 954-804-8199. That's 954-804-8199.
Cause we've been through it all. You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl, you're.
Thank you also to McNeil Trucking.
Girl, I don't know about.
Veteran-owned, licensed and insured movers in the state of Florida. With McNeil Trucking, your goods are in good hands. Get him a call today.
Girl, I don't.
You wanna move from Key West to Jacksonville?
My blessing.
Or anywhere in between?
Girl, please know. Everything we've been through is.
Don't have the manpower. Don't have the transportation. Just want to move some things into storage. no worries.
Forever.
You have the name, you have the number. McNeil Trucking. 954-406-9740.
Pick me up when I fall.
That's 954-406-9740. Thank you, McNeil Trucking.
Don't forget everything we've been through. I hope you know that I will never hurt you, baby. And yeah, I was a little bit toxic, but girl, you know this love is like magic. I hope you know that I just wanna love you, baby.
Hey Mauricio, how you doing, bro?
Forever and ever.
Much love to the massive out of Brazil.
Cause we've been through it all. You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl, you're my best friend.
Glad you can always tune in when you get the chance, bro.
Love away, know that I am here to stay.
Big ups to Mauricio Diaz.
Oh, a day without you in my life.
Inviting to call a friend, tell a friend, friends of your friends of your enemies of your friends, and your enemies too.
Ever and ever, yeah, man.
It's real talk. Yep. On the night shift with DJ Kevin Stew, Stig the artist kicking us off.
Yeah,
yeah. A track called Love You Forever.
Just by the life. I'm so good. And I'm so
thankful
for love.
It is interesting what we're going to be talking about tonight. Well, it's interesting what we talk about every night. Before I even get to start diving in, let me tell you the phone number. 773-789-STEW. That's 773-789-7839. You can get in touch no matter where in the world you are. You can use WhatsApp, you can use Telegram, you can link me directly.
I can go a day without you in my life.
Big ups, Gary.
As long as we're together.
And the McNeil Trucking family.
Girl, I'm gonna love you forever.
Wanna say blessings to one of my oldest friend walking the face of the earth right now. Yeah, man, and I can't call him my friend. Y'all know how I feel about using the word friend, right? We don't talk all the time. But I can tell you, it's one of my oldest friends. We met back in the 80s. Yeah, man, primary school thing. Mark, much love, bro. How you doing?
Cause we've been through it all. You pick me up when I fall. You're my lover, girl. You're my best friend. Who can take this love away?
Maurice, I do give my love to the family.
I can't go a day without you in my life. I am never giving up. No, I am never giving in. As long.
So, as we get into our broadcast for tonight, I want you to wrap your minds around this concept. And really and truly, you know, it's two things that we have kind of blended together to make up tonight's broadcast. And I want you all to contribute, as always. You know, put in your two cents, because your 2 cents and my 1 cent, and we have $1 million when you put it all together. Yeah, man, trust me. So, call, text, WhatsApp, Telegram, those are all available. 773-789-STEW. Of course, you can jump into the stew pot. What is a stew pot, you might ask? Well, some people call it a chat room, but because of fancy and kevinstew.com, when you go to kevinstew.com, the stew pot is there. Jump on in, water is always fine. You can remain anonymous, or you can give your name so that I know who I'm interacting with, or you can use a pseudonym. It's up to you. Not a problem. You don't have to register. You don't have to give your firstborn an internal organ or a blood sacrifice. Just go to kevinstew.com and you are there, live and in living color. Those of you who are locked in on YouTube Live, just chat right there. You don't even have to go anywhere else. But if you're listening in on any of the affiliate stations, call or go to kevinstew.com and jump into the stew pot, yeah? Cool. So, tonight, we titled tonight's broadcast, Loving But Too Close. And by the end of it all, you'll see where all of this fits in to the puzzle pieces, right? Now, this whole, we started the loving part. because the butt too close is a little bit different. In marriage, romantic love tends to decline over time. Did you know that? Well, actually, it don't just happen in marriage. It happens in just about any long-term committed relationship. I had to step pause for a moment and think about it real quick before I said it. Because as couples begin to have regrets or make upward comparisons, the romantic love fades away. Upward comparisons. What is that? Well, you and your partner, have you ever been in a relationship? But it's not always just one person doing it. Sometimes it's the couple that does it together. You know, they sit and they go, well, have you seen the Browns? You notice how they behave? Or, why, you notice the Joneses? But this is upward comparisons. And if we have some time, we can come back and look a little bit deeper into that. Because doing the whole comparison thing is always a very slippery slope to navigate. But for some reason, we all find ourselves wanting to compare. At some point in time. Some of us have evolved past the comparison thing. Some of us use it as a benchmark to know that we need to aspire towards something new, something else, what not to do. So it has its place. Might there be, according to psychology today, simple ways of increasing feelings of love to save a marriage that is falling apart due to declining passion? Well, according to a study by Langslag and Surti, to be published in the Journal of Psychology, the paper suggests something as simple as looking at photos of one's husband or wife can strengthen love. So just looking at pictures of your partner, looking at pictures of your spouse, that can strengthen love. Well, is that why people taking selfies all the time and posting it up on social media, hoping that they're going to be loved? Is that it? Or they just do it because, you know, it's a craze. Let me take a selfie. Well, this, specifically, according to this article, looking at pictures of the spouse seems an effective way to increase infatuation, attachment, and marital satisfaction. So let me ask this. If you're not married, and you with the person for a long time, when you look at a picture, does it have the same effect? Or do you have to be married? Because the text in this article specifically speaks to spouses, that of someone married. So, let's dive a little bit deeper. So, we're investigating ways of rekindling romance in the marriage. Can it be do? You wonder. Because after a certain time, some people, you see these marriages that last 30, 40, 50 years. And you ask, boy, what's the secret? And they'll say, boy, you know, there is no secret, just a lot of love and respect. And if you're close enough to them, I guess you could ask the question, does that love come with a lot of loving? Or how does that work exactly? Hey, Julie Bean, how you doing? I want to say big ups to Julie and Lee with a truly Julie experience. You can check her out on a Saturday afternoon on Flex FM, 1 p.m. Eastern. Check her out. You'll be in for quite the experience. Yeah, so tonight we're talking loving but too close. And we're looking at the loving aspect before we get into the but too close part of it. Yeah? 25 married individuals, 18 women, with 24 with an opposite sex spouse, an average age of 34 years old, ranging from 22 to 57 years of age. The average duration of the romantic relationship was about 10 years, and the mean marriage duration was about 7 years. The sample size of the participants of this study was comparable to those used in previous research on love regulation. And the authors note that a sensitivity power analysis showed the sample size yields 80% power to detect large effects. Participants were asked to provide 50 photos of their romantic partner. These were divided into sets of 25 and presented in the spouse no regulation and the spouse regulation. So two conditions: spouse no regulation, spouse regulation. And we're going to talk about those two groups in a moment. And the researchers also selected 25 random neutral photos, being people reading a newspaper, working on a computer, things like that, just some random pictures. And 50 pleasant pictures, some people smiling, you know, looking at an animal or something, a picture of an animal or something. And the latter group, the pleasant pictures, they were divided into sets of 25 also. Now, the sets were presented in the pleasant pictures no regulation and pleasant pictures regulation conditions, which we're going to also talk about in a moment. All right, so just setting up the whole study for you guys. Initially, participants responded to questions about their romantic partner and the relationship. Then they completed the infatuation and attachment scales. Now, this was evaluating the intensity of infatuation and attachment that they were experiencing. The dyadic adjustment scale, being the evaluating marital satisfaction, and the love control questionnaire, assessing perceptions concerning love regulation. You didn't know all these tests or questionnaires existed, right? Well, they do. And subsequently, while their EEG was being taken, they completed a regulation task. All right, so each trial consisted of a regulation prompt or asterisk for 5 seconds, a fixation cross with a jittered duration of 500 to 700 milliseconds, a picture for 1 second, and a blank screen for 1 second. There were 5 conditions, 25 trials each. These, along with examples of relevant prompts, we will tell you about. So here are some of the prompts. You have your spouse regulation prompt. With this one, it reflects on a positive aspect of your spouse. Think of a habit of your spouse that you like. Positive things. You know, you see these things, you either see them do it or you remember them do it, and it brings a smile to your face. That kind of a thing. Then you have the pleasant picture regulation prompt, which make a more positive interpretation of the picture. So, a picture of a woman playing tennis. She just won her tennis competition, so she looks happy, pleasant. Then there's a spouse no regulation. Just passively viewing a picture of your spouse or the spouse. Then the pleasant picture no regulation. Passively viewing the pleasant photo. Then your neutral pictures, no regulation, which is passively viewing the neutral image, right? Afterwards, participants related or rated their level of infatuation and attachment to the spouse and their marital satisfaction. Now, what exactly the pleasant pictures of all these random people and animals, what they have to do with it? Who knows? But that is where the EEG comes in, right? So they were asked to rate their level of infatuation and attachment. Now, there's a note. Spouse regulation was compared only to spouse no regulation. Just as pleasant pictures regulation compared to pleasant pictures no regulation. So it wasn't that spouse regulation was compared to pleasant pictures. So this is how they did the test. Don't question me. I don't know. I'm just trying to set it up for you guys. Now, analysis of data from the no regulation conditions indicated participants felt more infatuated and less attached. Sorry, let me not say that. They felt more infatuated and attached, plus more satisfied with their marriage after viewing spouse pictures than pleasant or neutral pictures. And the increased infatuation, attachment, and marital satisfaction after viewing spouse pictures were not due to just increased positive emotions unrelated to the spouse. The findings regarding the late positive potential, an evident-related potential component measured by EEG, were in agreement with the conditions we just mentioned. Now, specifically, in the no-regulation condition, the late positive potential was most positive when people viewed pictures of their spouse, and less for pleasant pictures of strangers, and less positive for neutral pictures. So, apparently, there's a mental reaction to looking at pictures of the spouse that led to a positive response on the EEG, which then says, oh, okay, so yes, these people felt better about their spouse when they saw their picture. Now, these were just regular pictures of your spouse? Huh. But isn't this the spouse that they see every day, all day? So, what difference would a picture make? Is it that the picture was reminding them of a moment that was a happy moment, and that then created the response of a positive response on the EEG? Somebody talk to me. Since a late positive potential reflects motivated attention to emotional stimuli, the results indicate motivated attention to pictures of the spouse were higher than attention to pleasant and neutral pictures. Okay, we got that. So, what then do we take away from this? The findings suggest that compared to looking at neutral or pleasant pictures of strangers, looking at pictures of your husband or wife is more likely to increase feelings of love, attachment, and marriage satisfaction. Again, if you're not married to the person and you're with them for an extended period of time, when you look at their picture, do you get the same effect? Things that make you go, Some comments here before I continue. What are you guys here seeing on Facebook Live? Remember, in every relationship, one always loves more than the other. Is that true, though? Is that real the case? Is there always one that loves more than the other? Hey, Smiley Wiley. How you doing, Jen? It's been a minute. You know, Mark, we really need to look into that one, you know. It would seem that there would be one that loves more. But if there's one that loves more, then there's one that is more infatuated. And then there'd be one that is more caring. And the one that loves more, does that necessarily mean that that is the one that is more
caring. Things to make you go, Well, it makes me think. I don't know if it makes you think, but it definitely makes me think. What say you guys? 773-789-STEW gets you in touch. I'd love to talk to some people tonight. You know, give me a call. Give me a ring-a-ling, pon-a-ding-a-ling. So, 773-789-STEW. All right, you can call, you can text, you can WhatsApp, you can Telegram. So, link me from anywhere in the world. Sister Irie, how you doing? In my remote relationships with my husband, it was absolutely mutual. So, okay. Sister Irie is saying, responding to you, Mark. Sister Irie is saying, hey, what she experienced was a very mutual situation when it comes to who loves whom. And how exactly did you measure that, Sister Irie? I'm not sure. Was it a case of, sometimes I would do for my partner, and even if I don't feel like doing, he will do for me, or that kind of a thing? Or did you just know? Because if now you start talking love languages. So if my love language is acts of service, and your love language is physical touch, if I know how to reach you and that is what works for you, and I do that, and you know what works for me, and as such you intentionally do that, is that saying that you know that the person loves you, or you just know how to make that person feel loved? Because no, you're playing a game of let's keep the partner. So let's keep the partner happy. Let's keep the partner in check. Let's keep the partner engaged. Let's keep the partner. Is that the way your relationships are supposed to work? Or it's supposed to just happen organically? Personally, if it works so that you intentionally do what your partner likes, then that is something worth noting, because you have a choice to do it or not do it. Yeah? If it is something that you like and it just so happens that your partner likes it when you do it, then who are you doing it for? You're doing it for you, you're doing it for your partner, you're doing it for the relationship, or you're just saying that you're doing it for the relationship because you're doing it while you're in the relationship. Let me see what you guys are saying on Facebook Live here. Okay, so you just knew, Sister Irie. Cool. Right, Mark. Something to think about, eh? Sometimes these things come to mind, it comes to mind, and we say, "Boy, this is how it is." But the moment you ask why, and you stop and you examine that why, now you're opening up other dimensions of that same thing. So the findings suggest that compared to looking at neutral or pleasant pictures of strangers, looking at pictures of your husband or wife is more likely to increase feelings of love, attachment, and marriage satisfaction. Looking, in other words, at photos of your romantic partner can make you feel more attached and in love with them, and more satisfied with marriage. Well, I'm going to extend that and say more satisfied in your relationship. And this effect is not caused by elevated positive emotions unrelated to your spouse. If the effect were caused by positive emotions unrelated to your spouse, then the pleasant pictures of strangers would have also improved these outcomes. So in summary, the simple technique of looking at photos of your spouse can increase feelings of love and marital satisfaction. This is important because romantic love declines over time in many romantic relationships and marriages, sometimes resulting in divorce, infidelity, and mental health issues like anxiety and depression. Therefore, increasing infatuation might help keep marriages intact. See, love is not all. You need some love and some more. You need some infatuation too. You need some superficial things in the relationship to complement the love. So, can we take the findings from a study like this and implement it in our own lives? According to them here, what you want to do is keep your favorite pictures, whether it be birthday, wedding pictures, whatever, of your favorite pictures of your romantic partner. They say to keep them in your wallet. Now, if you've ever seen my wallet, you'd are upset with me as my spouse or my partner, because my wallet is not the place for your picture. Try to say as a screensaver on your phone. How about that? Everybody has one of them smartphones, quote unquote smart. And or at some point in time, everybody's on a tablet or a computer. How about put that image up on that screen and have that there? That would be a suggestion, right? Frame a few photos of your spouse and or your partner and put it on your desk at work. Use pictures of your partner or your spouse as a wallpaper or screensaver on your computer. There we go. The writer says, a friend of mine keeps a photo of his spouse from their very first date as his phone background. So do whatever it is that works for you and serves as a reminder of the many reasons why you love your significant other. So that part right there, though, that answers a question that I asked earlier. Is the picture that you're looking at of your spouse, your partner, that create these feelings that leave you more satisfied, leave you more feeling loved, leave you more wanting to be a part of this relationship? Is that feeling as a result of seeing a picture that reminds you of a better time? And using this example of this guy with his partner's picture from their very first date, that reminded him of a better time, regardless of what is going on now. That was a great time, because that was a time that led to something that was brand new and exciting. So that was NRE, and seeing that picture brought back those feelings of NRE. So this is visual stimulation. So what happened to those who are blind? What do they use? Because blind people have love too. And so if you're blind, what do they do? So how do they get studied to see what reminds them or what is used or can be used to save a relationship? Or is it that blind people don't fall out of love because now they're not looking elsewhere for anything, literally? You know, I have to wonder, because here, this study was done using visual aids and an EEG. But this mental response, blind people have it too. What triggers this mental response with the visually impaired? What am I missing here on Facebook Live? That's why military personnel have pictures of wives when they go to war. Well, here's another thing, Mark. If you know you have something to live for and you're reminded of that thing to live for, there are various reasons why an individual may take a picture of their partner with them to war. So you know you have something to live for, that then you're going to fight to live for that thing. The seeing that thing keeps you focused on that thing. It gives you a constant reminder. You know, they say out of sight, out of mind. So it's not to say that going off to war, you forget about your partner if you don't have a picture with them. Because prior to cameras becoming a big thing, what were they using? Just a trinket from their partner. It was a handkerchief or a ribbon or a letter. There was something that was used to link them back to their partner. So here they are out at war, and the thing that is keeping them alive, keeping them alert, keeping them, is to go back to that which they left. So that could be used as an aid to why it is that they are at war in the first place. Soldiers are told that they are going to war to protect the life and liberty of those who are unjustly treated, whether it is their mother country, their home country, or those that they're going into another country to defend. So there has to be something that keeps you rooted and grounded and wanting to go back. That picture, Mark, that would be that thing. So if nothing else, I'm pretty sure that was food for thought. When you lose one sense, another is heightened, right? So the visually impaired, their tactile skills become heightened. Their hearing, their sense of smell, these become heightened. Which of these then would be used in a study like this to measure that level of connectivity, to measure what is used to stimulate infatuation? Are we now going for scent? Because now they're going to link the scent of their partner from that moment that was this great thing. So when that perfume done, how it go? They no longer use that body wash, that soap, that perfume, that lotion, that shampoo, that conditioner, whatever it is that gave that scent at that time. Unless they're going off natural BO. Now, I don't know of anyone that smells like perfume naturally. Can't say that I do. So that would be really weird to be going off a scent and then that scent being the thing. However, scent is one of the things that will trigger long-term memory. It's real talk, and we're looking at loving but too close. So we looked at the loving part. How to pretty much reignite the fire in a long-term relationship. Because what we have found by way of studies is that over a period of time, the longer the relationship, the less romantic love is in the relationship. Not to say that the love has gone. No. We've not lost the loving feeling. It's still there. The passion in the relationship has somewhat dissipated, though. And in order to rekindle or to reignite some of that passion, now you need to put back the infatuation. Because that passion is stimulated by the infatuation that comes with the relationship, that new relationship energy that you had. You remember that back then? Something that took you to that place would be the thing to stimulate that feeling. And as a result, bring that feeling back to the relationship. That's what the study is basically saying. How do you feel about it? We're going to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more. Go deeper and look at the other part of it, the butt too close. Because here's the other thing. In a lot of our relationships, people look for that thing that says, you know, I want to be that person for my partner forever. And I want my partner to be that person for me. You know, that forever talk. However, being too close to your partner may have a downside. When we come back from the break, we're going to look into what that is. Now, those of you guys that are on Facebook Live, it pains my heart to do this to you, but it warms my heart that you have the option. come on over to KevinStew.com. I know you're comfortable here on Facebook Live, but come on over to KevinStew.com for the remainder of the broadcast. Communicate with me in the stew pot. Yeah, the link is there, pinned in the comment section. It's also in the description. Those of you on Clubhouse, same thing. KevinStew.com. Really easy. Just one click, boom, come over, participate. You get to watch me live over there, same way. You can listen to me if you don't want to see me, you just want to hear me. You can still do that. But communicating with me from this point on, we're going to do it over there on KevinStew.com. But before I go, I guess I have a couple more comments here on Facebook Live to address. Hey, Cuz, how you doing? Welcome to the broadcast. Ebony. Yeah. So now that I'm kicking the Facebook crew off, you're going to say hi? Now is the time you're going to say hi, Ebony? Hi. Yeah, KevinStew.com exists for a reason. It is the home of the Night Shift to DJ Kevin Stew. Not Facebook Live, not YouTube Live, but YouTube gives an option on KevinStew.com to watch live there. Yeah? So come on over, KevinStew.com, or you can watch on YouTube Live. It's right there too. And that now comes back to yours truly, Kevin Stew. Yeah? So let's build a business. And building the business shows up right there. KevinStew.com. That's where the home of the business is. Support it. Come on over. But before we go, as a reminder, remember to go check out my Mary Kay store. Yes, I do have a Mary Kay store. I got involved with Mary Kay for the skincare products, and everybody has skin. And oftentimes, the men are forgotten. So, there are things there for men too. So, you got some beard care thing going on. You have some fragrances available. Go check it out. MaryKay.com/KevinStew. For those who are into the skin tone balancing, both men and women, this product works for you. It's called the CC Cream, and it does have SPF 15 in it. It's really cool. Lightweight, does the job really well. Go to KevinStew.com, and there's a link there, or you can just go MaryKay.com/KevinStew.
Pulse Media Group, innovative streaming and recording, has done it again. A new way to get your business in full view of your neighborhood consumer through AdShare TV. It's available in your neighborhood today. It's easy. Just call us, 754-999-6020. Become a host today and place a TV monitor in a strategic location so it's easy to see. Get a 1-minute video ad or longer that plays anywhere in our network. Can't be a host? No problem. For a few dollars, we'll run your 30-second video ad. A host can run announcement specials like buy one, get one free, or discount ads. Let's turn your flyers into a 30-second video with music, or a voiceover, or let us create and run your video ad with a spokesperson. Take advantage of our early enrollment discount. Join us today. Your ad will be seen at least 30 times per day in your AdShare TV neighborhood. It's easy. Just call us, 754-999-6020. AdShare TV, part of Pulse Media Group.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid.
In English,
and in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The
only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm representing for DJ Kevin Stew. Working on the night shift. The night shift radio show. Won't go changing like the weather, just to please the devil, never. Will DJ Kevin's jewels sell his soul? That's a word and honor. It's Christine representing Word and Honor. Celestia, DJ Kevin's jewels.
The track is called Love Is in the Air, courtesy of Rachel Davy Lee.
Such a glowing energy, love is in the air.
It's up there somewhere, up in the air, floating around. At some point in time, it will hit you. Kind of like a rock. So, those of you just tuning in, welcome to the Night Shift to DJ Kevin Stu. It's Real Talk Night. And big ups to the affiliates. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the support. One Harmony, tonight. NIE Radio, Reggae Pulse Radio, the Foundation Radio Network, PEMG TV, Zeno FM with the Stew Pot. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, as we continue, loving but too close, we looked at the loving part and we understand, we have a better idea, I should say, why it is that some people, or how it is that some relationships continue. I guess that picture does it for them. But all these people are so visually stimulated that a picture can have this effect. When it comes to relationships, the idea that you and your partner define yourselves in terms of each other's needs, personalities, and the very sense of identity may seem to represent the essence of intimacy. You know, when you talk about your partner completing you, my other half, my better half. In a long-term relationship, people tend to grow together in ways that can lead the sense of me to blend entirely into the sense of you. Perhaps someone you know married their childhood sweetheart, or maybe this is true of you. If one dies or decides to leave the other, the remaining partner may not even know where they are or who they are anymore. Weird, right? But we've seen it. We've seen it happen where one half of the partnership would die, and shortly after, the remaining partner follows suit. Sometimes, most times, it's when they're up in age, but they happen to, they say they die of a broken heart. We find it happening, right? As devastating as the ending of a relationship can be, regardless of the cause, grief over the death of a partner can endure for years, if not decades. Indeed, early research on what is called the anniversary reaction suggests that people could mark the loss of important individuals in their lives virtually indefinitely. For his part, the psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud regarded this melancholia, getting tongue-tied, as a phenomenon that the bereaved individual needs to work through and resolve. Indeed, although the mental health community has moved on from this traditional wisdom, there remains the assumption that people who engage in severe bereavement reactions past a certain point in time are in need of psychological treatment. Well, who dictates how much time is needed to grieve? And who dictates the method by which one grieves their loss? The end of a relationship, no matter how long the duration of the relationship, or no matter how long the relationship lasted, or no matter how the duration of the relationship is, you know, an individual may be deeply vested into their relationship after 1 year. For some, they don't get that deep until they've been in that relationship for 5 years or more. So Of course, it varies from individual to individual, so you can't just use a blanket statement to cover it. The DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition, DSM-5, it introduced the term persistent complex bereavement disorder to apply to individuals with intense grief reactions that didn't subside over 30 days. Considered a disorder requiring subsequent review and research, the diagnosis became formalized as prolonged grief disorder, PGD for short. In the newest versions of the DSM-5, known as the DSM-5-TR, the text revision, published in March of 2022, March of this year, the latest international classification manual, published by the World Health Organization, also include PGD as a diagnosis. Defined as intense yearning or longing for the deceased, PGD's symptoms can include identity disruption, denial of death, emotional numbness, loneliness, and a sense that life is meaningless, among other symptoms. The death itself must have occurred at least 12 months ago, so within a 12-month period. But for the diagnosis to be applied, the individual must experience these symptoms every day, or at least the majority of the week, for the past month. Now, when you find these things happening, now you can apply this diagnosis. You may or may not agree with the idea that grief becomes a diagnosable condition if it goes on for more than a month, and also that it may be difficult to put a discrete value onto such emotions as loneliness. This is a matter that clinicians and researchers in the mental health community will undoubtedly continue to debate. Setting aside the diagnostic considerations, the fact remains that the loss of a person you're close to, especially a long-term romantic partner, is one of life's most significant challenges. And if, I don't know if Sister Irie is still listening, still hearing me right now, she'd be one to talk on something like this, as she had lost her husband of many years a few years back. So as it relates to talking about losing a partner like that and feeling the grief of it, how long does it last? But does it only apply to partners? Because a parent losing a child losing a parent, aren't these losses just as devastating? Or is it expected for a child to lose a parent? But when that parent passes on before they've gotten into old age, how does that work? And so the dynamics of this whole grieving process kind of changes, doesn't it? And here we are looking at it in this context of partners. So here it is. This is where the but too close comes in. Because this closeness could actually be crippling, as per the case where you're going to be diagnosed with a mental condition. How bad could it be? How bad can it get? Don't know. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the mutual closeness and the bereavement process as we look a little bit more into the but too close aspect of loving but too close. We'll be right back. Call your friends, tell your friends, friends of your friends of your enemies of your friends, and your enemies too. Call up somebody, tell anybody, tell everybody. Information is good for us all, yeah? Cool, we'll be right back.
Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." With this in mind, and encouragement received during a South Florida media conference, The Church Links was birthed. The Church Links is an interdenominational worship service portal for churches, providing the tools to spread the word through technology in a cost-effective way. The Church Links, www.dahchurchlinx.com. Your links to worship and praise.
Making great music is one thing, sharing it with the world, that's another. Let the professionals at Reggae Global Entertainment help you to another level. Specializing in artist management, booking, public relations and marketing, and promotion, Reggae Global Entertainment can help you with event planning, websites, photography and video production, press releases, legal services and graphic design. They can even help you with music production so you can get the sound that you want every time. Call Reggae Global Entertainment at 954-804-8199. That's 804-8199. Or visit them online at reggaeglobalentertainment.com.
When being in the moment is priceless, consider the ability to share that moment. If you can video it, you can broadcast it. And Pulse eMedia Group has the tools you need. Weddings, birthdays, funerals, graduations, church services, parties, seminars, you name it. Pulse eMedia Group can provide you with a secure medium controlled by you to broadcast your event. Contact us at www.pulseemediagroup.com for more information. Pulse eMedia Group, when being in the moment is priceless.
Yes, yes, yes. Akara Mantino, I'm making notes right now. You are locked in to DJ Kevin Stew on the night shift.
This is the sound of Amber Leak bringing us back from the break.
Yeah, I got lost in you.
The track is called Lost in You.
I got lost in the rhythm of the wave of the ocean, baby, in the sunset too.
What a feeling to be lost in someone.
Lost in your eyes and the time.
5 days, four nights.
Baby, I got lost in you. Say, baby, I got lost in you. Oh.
So as we continue with real talk tonight,
lost in you.
Looking at loving but too close, and the but too close aspect of this whole relationship thing. We're looking at the dangers of being too close with someone. Because when that relationship ends, it literally could take a piece of you with it, if not all of you, as it does in some cases. When it comes to mutual closeness, whether they receive the diagnosis of PGD or not, Goethe University's Frankfurt Octavia Harrison and colleagues observe that what really matters from a mental health perspective among the bereaved is whether they experience an intense period of yearning for the departed. The question then becomes one of understanding who is most likely to develop this sense of yearning. If not the diagnosable condition of PGD. Returning to that image of intertwined selves, you know, when you talk about your partner being your everything, it should come as no surprise that attachment styles could be one key component of an intense sense of yearning. Harrison et al. Note that people with an insecure attachment style in which they resist making close connections could be most at risk due to their heightened neediness and sense of anxiety about close relationships. Conversely, the securely attached, who were so closely bonded with the departed, might be left with an even greater sense of purposelessness.
and loss of identity. Because that partner was their everything. That was who they lived for. That was them. As a German research team note, prior research on attachment style and PGD is marked by a number of weaknesses, leading to conflicting findings. These weaknesses include the lack of a clinical sample, poor measures of attachment, and even poorer measures of self-other overlap or intertwining. Now, I don't know how many people are familiar with self-other relationships. And if we have some time a little bit later on, we'll touch on it. Maybe I should leave it for a discussion of it in and of itself. But the whole self-other concept is deeply ingrained and mixed up in all of this. To test the risk that attachment presents to PGD, Harrison et al. Matched a sample of 27 individuals meeting the PGD criteria with 27 healthy controls, all of whom had experienced a bereavement at least 6 months in the past. The key measure of self-other closeness, known as the inclusion of the other in the self, the key measure of the scale was one that is very simple to understand and easy to adapt to try on yourself. Begin by drawing two circles. One representing you, the second representing your other. Now, draw the intersection of these two circles to match the extent to which you perceive there to be an overlap. Are they two fused circles? Are they completely separate circles? Do they just slightly overlap? What is it for you? And, you know, there's no right or wrong to this. You tell it as it relates to you. That's a joy of individuality. Participants also rated themselves on their subjective sense of closeness, in which they used a 1-7 scale in response to questions such as relative to all your other relationships. And these are same-sex and opposite-sex relationships. How you would characterize your relationship with this person. Harrison and her colleagues also asked participants to complete measures of depression, pathological grief, number of relationships, and physical symptoms. They indicated the nature of the loss, the subject's age, the age and gender of the deceased, and whether the death was expected or not. And I guess, well, let me not say I guess that would make a difference, because ultimately, it is not having that person around anymore. It is the loss of that ability to communicate with that person, you know, in such a way that you get a response, you feel the response, you hear the response, you are there for the response, and it's not a perceived response. And I guess the same thing can happen if it is just the death of the relationship, but the individual who was in the relationship still lives, and you are no longer in contact with that person. Because there is a death. Turning to the results, as the authors predicted, self-other fusion, which is the intersection of the circles, was higher in the group who met PGD criteria than in the non-PGD controls. In interpreting the findings, the German authors observed that we assume that the bereaved person's sense of self is still very much defined by the deceased, meaning that goals, roles, and daily activities are still attached to the deceased, making it difficult for the bereaved to envision a future without that person, that deceased. As beneficial as it might be to feel emotionally bonded to your partner, the Gothew findings suggest that It is healthier in the long run to retain at least a piece of your own identity that you define on your own terms rather than in terms of the relationship. Without this left over, the sense of self, the loss of your partner, this puts you at risk for the kind of severe identity confusion that can intensify the yearning that you may be destined to experience. That kind of yearning that, unless someone has been in that situation, doesn't know how to deal with it. Again, to quote the authors, if the deceased is part of oneself, he cannot be gone, as losing the other would mean losing part of one's identity. End quote. So, this closeness, a lot of people yearn for it. But, you know the saying, be careful what you wish for, you just might get it. This is what is showing up here. Because the individual that is so intertwined with their partner now gets to a point where this partner is gone, whether the relationship ends and you go your separate ways, or the partner literally dies, leaving you here to fend for yourself, whichever way that may be interpreted. But you're left here alone, and that portion of you that you lived for. So Mark mentioned the soldier going off to war, taking a picture of their spouse with them, or a picture of their family. If the family or let's restrict it to partner slash spouse, as we have been addressing. So here it is, this soldier is going away, is away at war, and is constantly looking at this picture of their partner. If this partner, God forbid, were to die at home from an accident, from murder, from illness, whatever it is, this soldier who is at war may not see the need to be careful anymore. If they have this type of attachment. Now, if they don't see the need to live anymore, that makes them a dangerous weapon. So, because on top of the training that they have, now you have a loss of purpose. So, it could be detrimental for the soldier, for the army in which they're fighting for. And as well as it could be equally detrimental to the army they're fighting against. Because now this soldier has less fear and is more willing to do more dangerous things. If a part of them is gone. Also, it could so happen that this soldier no longer sees a reason to be fighting this war. And decides to go on no more, risking court-martial and whatever else the army might throw at them. They don't care, because their purpose for living is no longer there. Whether PGD deserves to be a diagnosis or not, the German findings suggest that this unhealthy self-other merger can become a risk factor for a number of negative mental health consequences. Even if the relationship was ended through a breaking up process instead of death, the excision of a significant portion of your identity by virtue of the loss can make the healing process that much more difficult and painful. Just like I was saying, defining your relationship in terms of the overlap between you and your partner can be beneficial to intimacy. It's really cute, as has been described by Valentine's cards and ads and posters and images relating to Valentine's. for your identity to continue to provide fulfillment, the German study shows the value of holding on to the quantities that defined you as an individual. So if you're in that relationship that your partner is insisting that you be their everything, do you stay in that relationship even after you've lost that loving feeling just because you don't want to jeopardize the well-being of that partner? If so, what good are you doing to your partner? What good are you doing to yourself? What good are you doing to the relationship? And God forbid you have children. They witness. Children are smart. They can tell these things. So they're going to be a witness to this and wonder, and you're teaching them to have relationships how? So now it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. If you lose yourself in your relationship, how bad is that for you and the relationship? Because, again, it is presented as an awesome thing to have this relationship in such a way that you are so intertwined. You're, now that the two are one, you walk in harmony. Your hearts beat together. It's almost like you are twins. Twin flames. Soulmates. Totally ignoring or forgetting that you are both individuals. Not that you were both individuals, but you are individuals. So you are two individuals living, having a relationship that you are joined. So you're like one and not one. There's a difference. And in one scenario, you maintain your identity. And at some point, you do you. And if you're in a relationship that you don't get to do you, well, chances are, when that relationship ends, you won't know how to. And that right there is the danger of being too close. And I'm not saying that to try to dissuade anybody who that is their relationship. That is their relationship style, where they have that attachment style. I'm just saying, be prepared for what may come if you do find that relationship. And be willing to examine yourself in such a way that you are open to suggestions, you're open to therapy. Because you lose your purpose. And it ends up being a danger to everyone involved. You now end up, you run the risk of being depressed. So here you are in your depressed state. You have a child, young child, totally dependent on you. But you lock yourself away and leave this child to fend for themselves, and they don't know how. Dangerous. Or you have a high-risk job. You operate a train, transporting passengers from point A to point B. You go into work, you have no purpose. You are now listless, you depressed, you operating the train, you miss signals. That's several lives at the potential to be lost. You see the dangers? This is the danger of being too close. Again, I'm not saying don't give your all into your relationship. Relationships are great. I don't think they're for everyone. I really don't. This type of committed relationship, I really don't believe is for everyone. Some need alternate types of relationships. This one where you do your circles and you find that your circle disappears in that of your partner. But your partner has two distinct circles or circles with an intersecting point. You might be devastated at that. It could be a whole traumatic event and it ends up being something else. Now you've gone off the deep end because you think your partner doesn't love you just because you don't, your circles don't match up. And in your mind, you were so much alike. You were, this person is your everything. So why are you not everything to them? And so we end up having more problems. Because now you're angry in the relationship that has not yet ended and now is doomed to end. Either way, you lose a big chunk of you. Is there a way for one to regain their identity when they have submitted themselves or submerged themselves so much into a partner? Is there a coming back from that? What does it take? And this is probably what they're looking at in the revised DSM-5. In the DSM-5 TR. Yeah? This is probably what they're looking at when they examine PGD. I guess there's more to come for this. Because as we evolve, as our sense of relationships and what we're told and how we're told that we should have relationships, as that changes, so does our interactions with individuals. Because many of us are guided by just that. And we end up with our relationships locked into another person. Or persons, as the case may be. But I guess it's easier when it's multiple persons, as per that lifestyle choice. Because when one goes, you have others to lean on. And this is the system of a family. When one member of the family goes, then you have other members of the family that are there to support you. And you get to share in that moment. But when it's just you two, and you are all involved, all vested in that other, where does it go when it ends? That's a dangerous thing. But it can be a beautiful thing too. As we get into musical therapy, courtesy of MacNeil Trucking, this is Christine Alicia. The track is called Key Lock. The Zone of the Real Storm. The track is called Ital. I want to say condolences out to the Real Storm and her family. The loss of her aunt. Are you alone, me wanting on me personal diamond? But the rest of us remain, yeah? Your fire is not your sweeter. And we get to live on in the love that she left behind. This is where we wrap things up. I want to thank you all for being the best part of this broadcast. It's called Real Talk, right here on the Night Shift to DJ Kevin Stew. I catch you all on Saturday on Reggae Global Radio for the Saturday Stew. As we part company, I just want to remind you, look out for members of your community. Remember, your community is not just the development that you live in, but it spreads far and wide. So those that you pass on the bus, the plane, the boat, or the train, whether you walk, ride, or drive, these are members of your community. Do something good for one of them today, because you never know who's going to do something good for you tomorrow. My name is Kevin Stew. This is how I like to do it to you, for you, and with you every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here, kevinstew.com. As we part company, do remember, be good. If you can't be good at it. Take care of yourselves as you take care of others. Good morning, good afternoon, good day to you, wherever you are in the world, from right here in South Florida. I bid you all a good night. Greetings and salutations, one and all. You're invited to tune in to the Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew. It airs on Mondays with Community and Finance, Tuesdays with Healthy Love, and Wednesdays with Real Talk.
from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. Come spend some time interacting in the stew pot where we keep things bubbling and wind down in musical therapy. The Night Shift with DJ Kevin Stew is on kevinstew.com, where you're encouraged to have acceptance through enlightenment.